This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to The Gardening Show on B107.5. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
So, I'm Igor with Bob, as always, and we will happily take your phone call. So, it doesn't matter what we're talking about today.
That's right.
And it looks like Bob did bring in some tools, so we'll talk about that on Facebook Live once we get signed in there. But phone lines are open, 814-368-9372, or email us, garden@wesb.com. Take it away, Bob.
Okay. It's that time of year where we're going to clean out our garden, for one thing. And it's important when we say clean out is really clean out. I'm talking about the vegetable garden mostly, but also if we have a flower garden. We're going to want to pull as much of the plant out, you know, when they're done, and most of them are done now. Pull most of the plant out that we possibly can and clean up any leaves that may have dropped, because all this plant material can harbor what we call harbor pest that will carry on in through next year. So if we get the plant out, the roots and all those fallen leaves, possibly we've gotten rid of the pest out of the garden too, so that we won't have such a rough time next year. I even like to even rake my garden to get all the debris I can out of it. And then I'll start, through the fall, start throwing in leaves and grass clippings and so on to start to replenish the soil. But very important to clean out that garden because, again, we can harbor pests. You know, some plants can harbor more than others.
When you use grass clippings to kind of replenish, like as you say, do you have to mix it with anything?
No, you don't have to.
I wonder about that because I do that and it just seems to be clumpy grass.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you don't want to throw it in piles. You want to toss it in your garden and then kind of spread it out evenly, so that it has a chance to decompose over the winter. And then, of course, come spring, we're going to want to till it in or spade it in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, into the garden. But it's not a bad thing if you don't spade it or rototill it in. It becomes kind of a mulch. And as it is rotten down through the year, it is supplying nutrients to the soil, which the plants put in. So either way, works out great. You know, I'm still one of those that likes to rototill, so I may even, a lot of times I'll do a rototilling in the fall and then start throwing in my leaves and grass clippings and compost, and then till again in the spring. I get all those ingredients incorporated right into the soil, and of course they rot down a lot quicker that way and become food supply for the spring planting then.
But you got to till it in. Okay.
You don't have to.
Oh.
You can just leave it on the top and call it a mulch. It's still going to rot down. And with each rain, it's going to take some of them nutrients down into the soil, which is going to feed the plant. So either way, they both work great. I like to till. So I till, but it's not totally necessary.
All right.
So we want to get that garden cleaned out as much as possible and then start adding material to it, you know. And if we don't have grass clippings or leaves to throw in that, maybe it's a good idea to get a few bags of compost or peat moss to put on in your garden there to help refresh the soil to keep it nice and strong. Because most of us, you know, are going to garden every year in the same spot. Big time agriculture, you know, where they grow corn, they won't grow corn in the same field year after year. They will give it a rest, or they'll plant another crop that will help replenish the soil. So since we're going to grow in the same spot every year, we got to replenish that soil constantly. with other materials.
We are on Facebook Live now, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I stalled you for enough time for
yeah, us. Yeah. another thing that can be a lot of fun is if we planted geraniums or coleus and a couple other annuals, that we can save them and for next year. We have to dig them out of the garden before a frost hits, so real soon, and pot them up, and we can bring them into an area that's not going to freeze. A lot of people like to use their basement. Gets really cold, but it does not freeze there. And we can keep them going all winter long. And then come spring, we'll have a bigger, better, free plant. We can also treat them as a house plant. We can dig up and pot our geraniums and coleus. Those are two I just keep mentioning because they're real easy to do, and they're good-looking houseplants, too. We can pot them up. Nice, fresh potting soil. So we want to first dig them up, kind of tease a lot of the old soil there that's off of it that we can, and then find a nice-sized pot and pot them up with good bagged potting soil, and then water them in, and they maybe trim them back a bit and keep them as a house plant for in a nice sunny area or an area that's going to have a light on for 12, 14 hours a day. And we'll have a nice plant come spring again. But if we're going to save them in the basement, especially the geranium, which you can save for years and decades even, you got to let it dry out, and it's going to get ugly, and a lot of the leaves will turn brown, and you'll have to clean up those leaves, pull off those brown ones, because they will develop a fungus on them that can affect the whole plant. So keep it nice and clean, let it dry out, maybe water it just once in a while. If you've got a light or a basement window, then you may have to water it a little more often. When I say water it, you know, I'm talking about maybe once a month, you know.
Wow.
We don't want to make it wet because, of course, then fungus is going to start growing in there and fungus gnats. Matter of fact, I like that first watering, add a little soapy water to it, dish soap, you know, Dawn dish soap. And that will help keep the insect population down.
So it's basically in suspended animation or hibernating.
Right? Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah, it is. And then as spring starts to come on, you'll see growth starting.
Well, when you say you could do even years even, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, for years, decades even.
What, that's crazy.
So I've read reports from people that have saved a geranium for 30, 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah, one geranium. and of course, they get bigger and bigger and better and better every year. Now, they do take some, you got to trim them back a bit. You know, I'm going to say 50% of it, trim it back, you know. So if it's a foot tall, trim it down to 6 inches. It'll look pretty bad, you know.
Right.
But as long as some leaves are there, a few leaves, it can still make food and keep the root system going. There's even other ways, you know, where some people just bare root them totally and store them in a nice, cool, totally dark area. And then come spring, pot them up and start watering them, and they can come right back.
So you're saying, okay, yeah. I misunderstood. I thought you were putting them away for 40 years.
Oh, no.
No, you're replanting.
I'm sorry, yeah.
You're bringing them out every year.
Yeah, every year.
And
yeah.
You're repeating the process every
yeah.
year. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, you could just take a plant and store it away and decide to bring it out decades later? No. Okay. You have to bear with me. I'm new.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Another fun thing to do this time of year is collect seeds from some of your perennials that you really like and you want to grow more of. And so I'm going to show you, I got a little prop here. A little bag, you know, that you get at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And you can, once the plant has developed seeds.
Not in New York.
Huh?
I'm not getting that bag.
Oh. And
plastic bag.
I like to put the whole flower inside, harvest it when it's nice and dry. because the wetness is eventually going to get mold and mildew and fungus on it. So when it's real dry, you know, put it in the bag, and then you can close up the bag and shake it and beat on it, and that'll dislodge a lot of the seeds out of that flower head. And then, of course, you can pull out the old flower head and dispose of it. Or throw it right back in the garden because there may still be a few seeds there. And then save it in a cool, dark place. I prefer, you know, make sure the seeds are good and dry. Put them in a Ziploc bag and then put them in the back of the refrigerator where it's not going to freeze. You know, don't if your refrigerator freezes in the back, it's too cold for one thing.
Yeah, right.
So store it in the back of the refrigerator and in a nice Ziploc bag after they've all dried out. Maybe even put a paper towel in there.
I was just going to ask. Yeah, sometimes maybe a paper towel with it to get any moisture that might condensation or whatever.
Come spring, they know, the seed knows somehow that because it went through that cold period that now it's time to germinate and start growing again. So we can save seeds that way. It can be a lot of fun. But don't forget they're back there, you know, too. Sometimes I have a tendency to do that. But a lot of seeds can be saved for years and years and years.
And tell your family about what you're doing, too, because they might think it's like salad topping or
something.
Yeah. Ooh, some seeds, like sesame seeds or something, you know?
Yeah.
A little crunch to my salad, yeah.
And when I say some seeds can be saved for years, you know, there is reports that they found up in the Arctic in the ice – lupin seeds that were thousands of years old, and they still germinated. And then there's been other plants, too, that where they found seeds frozen in ice and still what we call viable. They're still good. They will germinate and come back that way.
It's like Jurassic Park, but for plants.
Yeah.
So you can get old stuff that you thought was gone and...
Yeah.
If it's a seed still intact
or
frozen
just
over time.
Or just a good plant that you had that just seemed to flower real well, you know, because not all plants are equal. Some just have the right genes, so they'll flower a lot, grow very well. Some struggle, just like us humans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a plant that we really like and is real strong grower, we call it vigorous, then save those seeds and... you can plant them out come spring.
Awesome. Hey, our phone lines are still open. If you have any questions for Bob, there's only a handful of shows left. We'll go through October, right?
Yes.
But still, we're getting there. It's September 23 already.
Yeah.
Woo, how'd that happen? So 814-368-9372 if you have a question about your garden or what we're talking about or something that you'd like to talk about. And we're on Facebook Live as well.
Okay, I brought, like you said, a tool here.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up here so you can see.
So that's a drill and
an auger. Auger, yeah. Just a handheld battery-operated drill. You can use a corded one, too, and a nice auger. This makes it real easy to plant bulbs here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll stand up here for a second. So... what we're going to do is just put it on top of the soil, pull the trigger, and that auger is going to start to go into the soil. You can see this one even has a mark. You know, most bulbs are going to want to be planted to that depth.
Is that what that is? It's just a mark where your soil line is.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to drill down, and it's going to pull the soil out of the ground, and then I pull a drill out, and I have a nice hole there. So I can just drop the bulb in. And then push the soil. You know, I don't even have to bend down. I can just push it in with my foot and then give it a nice a step on it, you know, to pack the soil in. And then Mother Nature's going to rain on it, and you don't even have to water them. Now, a couple things, though, about the auger. If you get stuck on a rock, you know, and I'm drilling down and I can't pull it back out.
That's been my problem so
just
much.
Reverse the drill. Mm-hmm. And it'll come right out itself, and then you can start to drill again until you get a nice clean hole, the right depth you want. Bulbs are going to be at different depths, but most of them, 4 to 6 inches, is going to be deep enough. And What else was I going to say about that?
Well, I was talking about, because, I mean, I have, like, boulders, you know.
So oh yeah.
I when I try to do that kind of stuff, I find myself, okay, I'm just going to use this little drill trick, do that. Whoop, nope, hit a boulder. I have to get the shovel out and tear everything up and get out this huge, massive rock.
Yeah, my ground's pretty rocky, too, but nothing real big, you know, maybe baseball-sized rocks, a lot of them.
Then I got to get more dirt because I got a hole now because that rock was so huge.
Yeah, it pays to have some topsoil there, a bucket of topsoil, just in case. But also what makes it easy, I can drill all the holes first, make my pattern of where I want the bulbs, you know, and it makes it easy to decide where I want all the holes. Then once I get them all and the pile of soil is right there, then I can plant all the bulbs and push the soil back over and step on them a little bit. And then we're done. You know, bulbs, as of most bulbs are perennial too. So as a plant, they're probably the easiest and cheapest way to go. And the most joyous too, because most of them are going to flower early spring when we really don't have anything blooming yet. So it's kind of a charge. And what also I get a big charge out of, you know, you plant them now and now you got to wait all the way through winter. You know, you worry about them, you know, are they growing? Are they going to be successful? And 99% of the time they are.
I like my way of it. I forget about everything anyway. So I have the attention span of a moth. So I plant them, forget about them. And then in the spring, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Look what's happening. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So the bulbs, you know, they're the best bang for your buck, really. And they're easy. So I got a few. I don't know how well you're going to be able to see this. This kind of a small daffodil bulb here that you can see it has a pointy end. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that's facing up. Now, if we don't, we drop it in a hole and it lays on its side. That's okay, too. Bulbs have a way of sending out roots and righting themselves.
You could bring it up to the camera a little closer. That's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So that's a daffodil bulb.
So pointy end up.
Pointy end up, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you some bulbs that it's going to be hard to tell, but the daffodil and the tulip are real easy to tell. But again, if it does drop into the hole on its side, don't worry about it because it will send out roots and they will right themselves and then start to grow as they're supposed to. So that's a daffodil. A smaller one, the crocus, I'm going to get one out of the bag. This is going to be real hard to tell.
Oh, yeah, that almost looks like an acorn, kind of.
Yeah, it does. I don't know if you can see that or not, but that's a crocus there. And they have a little pointy end, too, and then the flat spot on the bottom. And
it's not as pronounced, but it's there.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And again, if they do fall on their side or even upside down quite often, they do have a tendency to be able to right themselves, so don't get too concerned about that. But the crocus, that's one of the first to bloom in the spring, and and they are a true perennial. And you can even plant these just right out in your lawn. Take the auger or whatever way you want to dig the hole. You can plant these right out in your lawn, and you can have these for decades and decades just popping up in your lawn early in the spring. And then, of course, when it's time to mow, you know, you're gonna mow them down, but it will not kill them. Most of the time, they'll come back every year. And it's kind of neat to see. You know, it used to be very popular where people would fill their lawns with crocus bulbs. That reminds me, another easy way is have a bucket of soil and just kind of a steel bar that you can poke a hole, because crocuses don't have to be planted too deep.
I was going
to
ask, is there a difference between the bulbs here? Do they all go in the same depth, or are they a little different?
You can do that, but you don't have to. The bigger the bulbs, the deeper the hole. Mm-hmm. The crocus are very small bulbs, so you only have to go about 2 inches deep.
Ah, okay.
So you poke a hole, drop the bulb in, grab a handful of soil out of your bucket, put that in the hole, and you're done.
Can you pack it too hard, the soil?
Probably not. No.
Okay.
No.
So you don't really have to worry about it.
Yeah. If you're 100 pounds, stepping on it is going to be fine. If you're 300 pounds stepping on it, okay, you're not going to crush the bulb.
Or, I was just thinking about like making it harder for it to sprout.
Oh, no. Because like in the winter, you know, we have a lot of freeze thaws, rains. That keeps the soil loose.
Okay.
So the bulb has no problem at all. So that's the crocus.
So you could even just, take a crowbar or something like that, huh? And just kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poke the soil, drop it in, cover it up, you're done.
Yeah. It's that easy. Hmm. Of course, the more you do, the more success you'll have, but it can be that easy. Now, a tulip bulb, that's probably the most popular, the tulip. So I'll hold one up here.
It almost looks like a tiny onion.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yep. And, of course, it has the pointy end there. That will be what you want to get up if you can. And, again, about 4 to 6 inches deep. And try not to – I know it's – I always do this myself. Try not to really make a pattern like soldiers standing at attention, a straight line, because if one bulb does fail or – a chipmunk decides to go in there and dig it up, you know.
The whole arrangement's ruined,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So try to be natural and just plant them in clumps. And they show up much better in clumps, you know, like a dozen in a round area. They just show up and look better in the long run that way. And all bulbs are going to multiply, too. So that where you've planted one, next year maybe two or three. And, of course, tulips are the most popular bulb, but just about all the animals out there like tulips, too.
Mm.
So be aware of that. There are ways to protect your tulips. When the tulip bud starts to appear, just before it'll open up that you can enjoy, the deer and the woodchucks and several animals will nip those off. Because they're full of sugar, and they're totally edible.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, it goes way back, the Roman army, before they go into battle. They really believed that they would have extra energy if they ate a tulip bulb. And so that became a big practice with them. So keep that in mind. You know, even the Roman army ate tulips.
Doesn't sound delicious to me.
No. but it's not poisonous. Not like other bulbs can be poisonous, so don't do it with other bulbs. So to protect your tulips from the deer, if you really want tulips growing, plant some daffodils or hyacinths with them because the deer will be deterred from the smell of the daffodil or the hyacinth. And those are really poisonous to deer, so they'll stay away from that area. Now, that's not 100%, you know, but it does work quite well, though.
Yeah. You got a deer that's starving, they're going to eat it.
Yeah, yeah. A young one with maybe not a lot of knowledge, you know, just doesn't know any better, and they may even nip at your daffodil bulb. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to get tulips, get daffodil bulbs, plant them together, and they'll help be successful that way.
All right.
So
is there any kind of like spray or something like that? Like for dogs, they have this bitter apple or whatever, the bitter spray or a gel that you put on something that you don't want your puppy to chew on because it tastes bad. Do they have anything like that for animals?
Yeah, they sure do. Yeah, there's a lot of deer off. One of them is called, another one's called liquid fence. You know, basically what they are is a mixture with rotten eggs smell in them.
Oh, so that's going to smell bad to us, though, no?
Not really. You may notice it while you're applying it.
Oh, okay.
But that dissipates real quickly. But the animal's nose is much better than ours.
That's
and
right.
Even after weeks of applying it. And you do have to reapply. You know, we get a lot of rains in the fall. It's going to wash it all off. It's going to dissipate. So we have to reapply. But they all work. They work quite well even.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. But, again, a great way to do it is just plant some daffodils and hyacinths wherever you plant bulbs. And you'll have a natural defense forever.
And it'll look great.
And it'll look great, yeah.
Can we take a short break and
Sure.
come back and talk more bulbs? I see you have even more to show.
So. I do, yep.
Great. We'll be right back after this on The Gardening Show right here on B107.5. Well, I guess it happened again, Bob.
Oh. We're back?
I suppose. You know, this Worth W. Smith commercial, I got to... We didn't get a new one yet, so I have to extend the date of the old one. So go ahead. Let's talk about that other bulb then.
Okay. The hyacinth. This one is going to be highly scented. A lot of the other bulbs have a little bit of a scent to them too, especially some of the daffodil bulbs will have a great scent. But the hyacinth is really known for its great scent. Let me hold up one here. And, oops. They're a pretty good size bulb, and again, plant 4 to 6 inches deep, and different colors it'll come in, red, yellow, white, pink, purple, all different colors. They bloom early spring and deter a lot of the animals.
Can you tell what color it'll be just by looking at the bulb? Do those look different?
Yeah, okay. You can even.
So like, say if you wanted a color pattern, you're trying to, you know, put, I know you say try not to do patterns.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But you could tell which one's which.
So I'll hold
up. Oh, I see now. Yeah. It's
two together. Yeah. With the hyacinth, you know, not with the tulip so much. If you really have, had experience with a lot of tulips, you can start to tell. But the hyacinth bulb, you can see there's a white bulb and a dark purple bulb. The dark purple is going to probably be a purple, and it may be a red. You know, I mm-hmm. can't guarantee which one, but of course, that white bulb is going to be a yellow or a white.
So save the packaging.
Yeah, save the packaging. Yeah.
If you want a specific color, don't get rid of the packaging. It's not guaranteed. But
yeah. So again, it's probably better to not worry about the colors. Just to mix it, it looks more natural, and it can be more pleasing to the eye that way. Again, like I said, I've tried and tried for years and years to make a nice pattern, and
mm-hmm.
and
there's got to be a way, right?
Yeah,
a master gardener in you is like, oh, we have to do some kind of spectacular display, you know.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Spell out something, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But again, bulbs are great because they're so inexpensive. Like you can get half a dozen bulbs for $3. And
not a lot of maintenance.
And not a lot of maintenance. You just
plant and it happens.
Make the hole, put them in, fill the hole, and you forget it forever. They're going to come back.
I have my commercial ready here. So hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Visit Worth W. Smith Company in Bradford and see all they have to offer for your outdoor cooking. You'll find a wide variety of mountain pie makers, bread makers, hot dog forks, and other fire pit cooking products. If that's not your style, don't worry, they didn't forget you. They have whatever cooking fuel you need, whether it's charcoal, propane, or one of several flavors of Bear Mountain wood pellets they have in stock. So next time you're looking for something for backyard cooking, remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company in Bradford.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show. We have about 2 minutes left in the program here, so if you do have a question, you can give us a call, 814-368-9372. And we're talking about bulbs today. What else do you have to talk about here?
I forgot to mention, though, with the hyacinth, now it's beautiful and smells great. Blossoms are really big, but some people are allergic to the hyacinth.
Oh.
Now, it's not going to cause any big damage, but it can cause a rash on you. So when you are planting the hyacinths, maybe you want to wear gloves and don't scratch your face while you're doing it, because some people have shown rashes that go away in a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just itchy, so it's bothersome. But that's all there is to it. It's not really a big deal.
Okay. And it's not like once they start to bloom or whatever.
No, you're not going to get the rash then. Right. It mostly comes from the skin that's around the bulb.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Just like an onion. They have kind of like the skin.
Yeah, papery skin. Yep, yeah, around them. Now, you don't have to pull that skin off of any of the bulbs. Mm-hmm. You know, it may want to try to fall off. That's okay. But you don't have to pull it off and clean it up that much.
But if they make you itchy, put on gloves. That's all.
Yeah, put on gloves. That's all. And just don't scratch your eye or your nose because you may end up with a little itchy rash that way.
Okay.
So that's the only drawback to them. They don't bother me. They don't bother a lot of people. But I have seen some people... it can cause a little itchy rash.
Mm-hmm. And is that all you have for us today?
I think so, yeah. Ooh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We're right on time. It's 9 a.m. And thank you so much for coming in, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Yeah.
Excellent. It's The Gardening Show right here on B107.5. And you can check it out on demand, WESB.com, and on Facebook Live. We will talk to you next week with The Gardening Show.